Okay, so let's get going then. So again, welcome to our retreat, our bodies break light. I love that title. It's one that Paramahansa came up with. It's from a poem, and it's from a poem by a woman called Tracy Brimhall. And Paramahansa will be talking a little bit about the theme of the retreat in a little while. So I'm just going to do a little bit of welcoming us to the retreat and the retreat community and saying a little bit about what's happening this evening and the general layout. I'll introduce you, if you don't already know her, to Pranyanita, who's our organizer for the retreat and also our Zoom host for the retreat. Yeah, and that's when and then Paramahansa will sort of introduce the theme, and then the second half of the retreat will be more practice based. I mean, not the retreat, the second part of this evening. So we'll have a dedication ceremony as a ritual to kind of, dedicate the space, this collective virtual space together, come together with our intentions as a retreat community. And we'll do that in call and response. Then there'll be a meditation led by Paramananda. And then we'll just end the evening with a green Tara mantra, which we're also going to be doing in call and response. So a bit more about that when we get to it. So one of the things that I've been quite amazed at is actually how effective it can be having an online retreat. I mean, I was quite skeptical about doing anything online before, and yet we've had, well, it's almost a year now of doing online events, whether it's classes, courses, and retreats, and finding actually it is possible to practice, it is possible to connect with others, it is possible to go quite deeply in your practice. I remember when we did our first experiment with an online retreat, just like how, well, I suppose like how surprised we were at the amount of depth that people were willing to go to, and they could go on a similar kind of journey that they might go if they had been going on their residential retreat. It's a different experience, and it's got strengths, and there's things that we miss about actually going off somewhere in the country, sharing a space together, going for walks, having the actual physical shrine room to practice together alongside others. And for me, also the kind of journey there and back is all part of the retreat. And of course, we don't have any of that when we're doing it online, but it does mean that we can kind of integrate it much more into our daily, everyday life rather than have this, intense experience on retreat and then come back and it be a bit jarring and and that has its challenges as well, because we have to manage our transitions. We have to sort of maybe make some space consciously to the fact that we're doing this online retreat, because you just switch off your device and you're back in your life around all the people that you are normally. So it's a different experience, but it can be very powerful. And certainly I've experienced going on online retreat led by someone else, going through, very deep process and getting in touch with all kinds of stuff and finding it really effective. So I hope that you'll have a positive experience on this retreat, and that you'll find that, it is a spiritual journey just like it would have been if we'd been coming on a retreat in person at some retreat centre. So tonight we're launching the retreat. Yes, it's our first time together. And we'll find out a few practical things about the retreat, because even on an online retreat there are some practical things that you need, and does need to be have that sense of being held as well by the retreat leaders and the organizer. Yeah, then we'll move on to the rest of the evening. So, the fact that you're all here means you must all have registered for the retreat. So you'll probably have noticed if you've come on retreats before that we've changed the system from just a purely dharana basis to we've now been asking people to do a non-refundable booking fee, and there'll be, we said we would invite people if they want to make a donation on top of that. There's a suggested donation, but that's just a suggestion. And if you don't want to pay anything or aren't able to pay anything more than booking fee, that's fine. But if you are able to, particularly towards the end of the retreat and you feel that you've got a lot out of it, maybe you'll feel that you might want to donate more, then we will be making a Dharma appeal at the end of the retreat. And just to say that it's still very important to us that anyone can attend our events, whether or not, whatever their financial circumstances are. So we do also offer bursaries. So, if you did feel like helping to support those bursaries, that would also be welcome. I think maybe I'll just pass on to Pranyanita. So you may not know Pranyanita. She's the centre manager at West London, and she's also a very dear friend. And she's, she does a lot of things, not just centre managing. She's a fantastic teacher and, has a lot of friendships within the Sangha and, yes, has had a very positive influence on the centre since she came. So I'm going to pass you over to Pranyanita.
So welcome everyone. It's lovely to be here with you all, and I'll be the person behind, I call it behind the decks. So I will be at the background, and if you need anything, you can contact me via the teaching@westlondonbuddhistcentre.com, an email that you would have had from the email that we've sent either Friday, or if you've booked yesterday or today, you would have received it after that. So if you need anything, do write to me, and hopefully we can look at how things can be accommodated. And you've also been invited into a Slack lounge. So we started to do that now for people to have opportunity if you want to talk to each other, or you want to share in that sort of retreat space with other retreatants, so you can post on the Slack lounge. And I think it also allows you to make phone calls with people. So if you do actually want to follow up with some of the retreatants, you might have an opportunity to do that through the Slack lounge. So hopefully you would have all received an invitation for that. And you can just click on it and accept it, and then you're part of the part of that particular technology. So that's how you can contact me. That's about how you can have a contact with each other on the retreat. And I also want to say about groups. If you'd like to be in the same group over the period of time, then please drop me a line so I can organize the same group for you. So far, I only had two requests, so we might need five people for the same group to happen. So if that's something that you would benefit, having the same kind of group to go through these 6 days together and reflect together, on a daily basis, then please let me know again on the teaching@westlondonbuddhistcentre.com. And we will have groups in the afternoon sessions. So we're starting today evening session, but from tomorrow we will have a morning session 8 till 9. And usually for that morning session, we'll just meet quietly into that space, into that meditative space. So that will be session from 8 to 9. And then from 10:30 till 12:30, we'll have another session, which will have often a little talk, meditation. Sometimes it might have mantra or a ritual. And then in the afternoon, we'll meet for groups. So from 4 o'clock till 4:30, it'll be groups. We would encourage everyone to come to groups because it's a nice way of connecting and reflecting. But if that's something that doesn't go with how you're practicing this week, then please log in at 4:30 for a 4:35 start. And then we will meditate after groups and then have a little Q&A question after that. So that will be our program for the following 6 days from tomorrow. And it will finish on a Saturday at 5:30. And I think I'll hand over back to Bodhilila.
Thank you very much, Pranita. And it's really great having you here as organizer and hosting the Zoom. You know, this is our fourth retreat with this team, and it's really nice to know we've got such a safe pair of hands there and such a sort of reliable and spiritual presence there on the team from Pranita. So yes, the Slack Lounge, it's something new. We haven't done that on one of these retreats before. So some people may like doing that. And again, some people may prefer to just be quite quiet. So I just encourage you to see what you need to do on this retreat. You know, some people may be doing the retreat and they've still got work commitments, family commitments that they're doing the retreat alongside. Some people may have managed to clear some space and making it kind of like a more intense retreat, you know, doing their practice and not having a lot of input, a lot of other responsibilities or activities alongside. If you can simplify your life at all, I would encourage you to do that. And particularly if you can maybe reduce or simplify the amount of input you're getting, because one of the things about doing a retreat at home is you've got all your normal distractions just there. You know, it's very easy, you know, to be doing a session and then, you know, switch on the telly and binge Netflix, you know, or you know, and if that's what you choose to do, that's what you choose to do. But I suggest you might get more out of the retreat if you try and have some quiet time, some reflective time, and allow yourself to absorb the effects of the practice over time. One of the things that makes a retreat, whether it's online or in person, I think effective is that opportunity for continuity of practice. You know, that we're not just doing one or two meditations a day, we might be doing a few, and we'll be doing some reflection, and there'll be some, you know, talking around the Dharma, exploring the Dharma. There'll be some ritual, you know, or mantra chanting. And all of that can percolate, can have an effect, you know, especially if we haven't got a lot of things in between. But again, it's just that you do one thing and then your next meditation, your starting point is somewhere different. And as the days go by, it gives an opportunity to see what's happening, give more space, more depth to your practice. And I'd also suggest just being open, being receptive to whatever's going on during the retreat. Quite often people go on a journey on the retreat and, you know, there may be a few days in when it gets a bit challenging, and then you come through that and maybe you're feeling really inspired. Maybe you have some insights, maybe you know, a lot of familiar stuff comes up. Maybe something new, just being open to whatever happens, really. And Yeah, if you can't make every session, then you can't make every session, that's fine. And one of the things that we do on these retreats is that we record the talks, we record the meditations or the mantras or whatever else, the Q&A, and that gets posted on a special dedicated retreat page, either late that night or the next day. So you can play catch up, and then also it'll be resources for you after the retreat if you want to revisit anything. So you should have got the link for that in the email that was sent with information about the retreat. But if you can't find that, I guess you can ask and we'll repost it in the chat at some point. So it's really interesting how, even though we are all in our separate places, we can still create a retreat community. Just by coming, showing up, and practicing together, and supporting each other in our practice as well. And just you being here, you showing up, you meditating in the sessions will be supporting everybody else. And then if you come to the groups or if you take part in the Q&A, you get to know each other in a different kind of a way as well. And maybe some of you may want to be using the Slack lounge if you want. So there's that opportunity to sort of make connections and practice together. But even if you don't actually talk with someone, it's interesting how we can feel these connections just by being on retreat, just by practicing together, even if we're not physically in the same shrine room. So I'm going to pass you over to Paramananda, who's going to say a bit about the theme of the retreat, and then we're going to more consciously try and create a sort of sacred space for the retreat, for our practice, even though it's virtual, even though we're in cyberspace, by doing a dedication ceremony. So, Paramananda, over to you.
Thank you, Bodhidharma, and welcome to you all. As Bodhidharma has already mentioned, and as you probably know as you signed up, call this retreat Our Bodies Break Light. Maybe at some point during the retreat I'll recite the poem, but it's quite a dark and strange. It's a very lovely poem, but it's quite dark and strange poem. So we'll see if it emerges. But anyway, I just like the title, and the title brings together these the body and light. And in a way, you could say these represent the material and the spiritual, yeah. Particularly in the Western tradition, I think it's fair to say that the body is often been regarded as a kind of hindrance to the spirit, even in opposition to it. And certainly in the Christian tradition, our bodily feelings, our bodily needs, our bodily urges, our bodily longings have often been seen as something that needs to be subjugated by our mental faculty, the power of our mind, as it were. I think one of the things that initially attracted me to Buddhism is that I didn't get that sense. I was thinking about this. I think if you say to most people, if you ask most people, well, if you just say to most people Buddhism, probably, I don't know, but I suspect what comes to mind is a picture, is an image of a figure sitting under a tree. And for me, it's a very kind of physical image. Now, when I think of Buddhism, I think of this very physical image, the image of this person in nature and connected with sort of integrated into nature, you know, under this beautiful tree, just sitting there quietly, and it's a very kind of physical image, but that's the way I take it, you know. And I think when I encountered Buddhism, I mean, it might be worth saying that in my mid-20s, for about 6 or 7 years, I worked in a therapeutic community. And in this community, I sort of ended up there by chance, in a way. I was doing agency social work, and I got sent to this place. And then they offered me the job, you know. And I was out of the staff group, there was me and one other staff member that weren't actually qualified as some kind of therapist. We had a Jungian therapist. We had a very interesting Freudian therapist who had been a monk for 30 years and he was living on an island off the coast. And at some point he realized he was going bonkers, and he went to his abbot and said, "Look, I'm going bonkers." It was a silent order on this island. And he went to his abbot and said, "Look, I think I'm going bonkers." And his abbot said, "Oh, well," he used to have to go to the mainland every week because he was in charge of the farm and had to buy something. Anyway, the abbot referred him to his Freudian therapist, and later this guy left the monastery and trained as a Freudian therapist. Anyway, we had a Freudian and a Kleinian and a behaviorist. And then there was me and this other guy that weren't actually qualified. I wasn't qualified in any sort of therapeutic tradition. Anyway, I was there for about 7 years, and I did have an individual kind of caseload, as well as doing a lot of kind of group work with people. And as time went on, I got more and more kind of frustrated, I suppose, with the emphasis put on talking. And of course, talking can be very useful and essential part of a kind of healing process. But it seemed to me there was this great big area that just wasn't really being addressed in any way. And this was the sort of physicality of people, you know, that people's depressions or difficulties are not only expressed through language, they're expressed through their bodies, they're expressed through the way they hold themselves, the way they walk, a kind of energetic field. You know? And at some point in that process, I started a training in Tai Chi, which I did fairly seriously for 3 or 4 years. And it was from that place that I first got involved with what was then the Western Buddhist Order, now Tri Ratna. And I suppose I'm saying this because I came into meditation. I had meditated before, but I came into meditation with a very kind of energetic, somatic understanding of meditation. And I think over the last, 35 years, I've kind of pursued that thread. Yeah, I've been mainly interested in what role the body plays in meditation. Of course, this dichotomy between the body and the mind is quite spurious. I mean, so we need to bear this in mind. It's a way of speaking, isn't it? But there is also a way of approaching meditation that takes the physicality and the energetic nature of the body into account more or less. And actually, I'm very pleased. I think in the last 10 years or so within Tri Ratna, the body has started to get its fair share, really, of attention. You know, it's become more and more into the way people teach, into the way people understand meditation. So that's what this retreat's really about. It's about the role of our body and the relationship between what we might call body and what we might call psyche, our psyche and our body, and how they work not as two separate things at all, but how actually they are an integrated psychophysical system that we're working with. We are, you know, a psychophysical being. We're not purely mental and we're not purely physical. And it's that using the body to investigate how that works, really, and how the body can give us access to the psyche, you know, how our bodies can provide access to the psyche, and what's the relationship between those two kind of elements. So we're going to be looking at the body as a aid to developing samatha, calm, relaxation, also as an aid to developing metta, compassion, love, and hopefully if we get around to it, also be looking at the role of the body in terms of the development of insight. Yeah. So we're trying to follow the thread of the body, if you like, through a whole range of possibilities that meditation offers us. Yeah. So I hope that makes a little bit of sense to you. And we'll just see how it unfolds, you know, how we unfold. There's a kind of unfolding, isn't there? Physical unfolding that can happen, a physical waking up, a physical kind of blossoming, a kind of energetic blossoming into the world, which I'm interested in, and how our bodies actually allow us to fully participate in the world. You know, how our bodies being part of the world allow us potentially to have a deeper insight and knowledge about the world. So we'll see how that goes. Yeah. I hope that gives you some sort of idea. And as Bodhilila says, we'll just see how it kind of develops over the week. So I think that's probably enough for me to say this evening, and I'll be saying a bit more tomorrow in the morning, the mid-morning session. So great to be here with you all, great to be with Bodhilila and Pranyanita for another West London retreat. And I hope you enjoy the retreat and find it useful. Okay. I'll leave it there for the time being, Bodhilila.
Thanks very much, Paramananda. And certainly I'm feeling really excited about it, having listened to you introduce the theme. So in order to allow that blossoming and that unfolding, that waking up process, if we can create a bit of space for ourselves in the retreat at home, a bit of time, that will be helpful. But there's also this space that we're coming together, this virtual space that will be holding the retreat, actually. Zoom, you know, what is Zoom? And it's interesting because there's always been that sense of connection and interconnection, whether you're physically with people and other beings or not. And I think it comes out a lot more in these current situations where we're, you know, we're online and we're in different spaces, but we are sharing this virtual space, which becomes the retreat space. So just as if we were going into a shrine when we dedicate the retreat, we dedicate the space, we're going to do that now online, and we're going to be doing the dedication ceremony in call and response. So if you haven't done ritual on Zoom or online, just to say that because people's Wi-Fi and internet speeds tend to be very different, it doesn't really work if everybody unmutes themselves and joins in. So what we'll be doing is, if something's in call and response, then there'll be two people leading it, one person leading it and the other person responding from the team. And you'll all be muted, but then invited to join in at home. You know, and actually that's quite nice, isn't it? Because if you're someone who's a bit self-conscious about doing ritual or doing mantras, no one can hear you, so you can just go for it, you know. Yeah, because you can do rituals by yourself, but there's something about doing it with other people. But in this context, it's a little bit, sometimes it can feel a little bit more intimate, actually, because you don't have a whole crowd of people around you. They are virtually around you, but you can hear yourself and maybe the person that you're doing it alongside with. So, yeah, we're going to be doing the dedication ceremony in call and response, and then later when we do the green Tara mantra, we'll also do that in call and response. And call and response isn't just about, you know, you listening so you know what the words are. It's sort of has a sort of symbolic, metaphorical level to it, where you're, you know, you're hearing something, you're hearing the Dharma, you're hearing a teaching, you're hearing a, you know, a mantra, and then you're responding. Yeah, it can be a faith response, or it could just be whatever your response is, but there's something about that hearing something and responding that is so much about, you know, the path and our practice on all different sorts of levels. Anyway, so if you're not familiar with the dedication ceremony, yeah, we're dedicating it to the three jewels, to our ethical practice through the five precepts, you know, through practicing meditation. And we also try and, in our imaginations, you know, imagine it as a mandala and creating sort of circles of protection, a very sort of traditional, especially in the Tibetan tradition, circles of protection of lotus petals, the lotus of vajras and of flames. So flames are very much something about fire and transformation and clearing space. The vajra, have I got a vajra? Yeah, here's a vajra. If you haven't seen a vajra, symbol of enlightenment, diamond thunderbolt. Supposed to be indestructible and also able to cut through anything, and very much a symbol for wisdom and enlightenment. And then you've got the lotus, which is another, you know, different symbol for awakening, growing, blossoming, rooted in mud. So I think that's pretty much all that's in there. Ceremony. So let's just take a minute to sit quietly. Been a lot of talking, so just let's take a couple of minutes just to sit quietly, and then I'll ring the bell and we'll start the dedication ceremony. And I'll be leading it. Paramananda will be responding, and you can join in alongside Paramananda. after the ceremony ends, then Paramananda will be leading us in a meditation. We dedicate this place to the three jewels.
We dedicate this place to the three jewels.
To the Buddha.
To the Buddha.
The ideal of enlightenment to which we aspire.
Ideal of enlightenment to which we aspire.
To the Dharma.
To the Dharma.
The path of the teaching which we follow.
The path of the teaching which we follow.
To the Sangha.
The Sangha,
the spiritual fellowship with one another which we enjoy.
Spiritual fellowship with one another which we enjoy.
Here may no idle word be spoken.
Here may no idle word be spoken.
Here may no unquiet thought disturb our minds.
Here may no unquiet thought disturb our minds.
To the observance of the five precepts.
To the observance of the five precepts.
We dedicate this space.
We dedicate this space.
To the practice of meditation.
To the practice of meditation.
We dedicate this space.
We dedicate this space.
To the development of wisdom.
To the development of wisdom.
We dedicate this space.
We dedicate this space.
To the attainment of enlightenment.
To the attainment of enlightenment.
We dedicate this space.
We dedicate this space.
Though in the world outside there is strife.
Though in the world outside there is strife.
Here may there be peace.
Here may there be peace.
Though in the world outside there is hate.
Though in the world outside there is hate.
Here may there be love.
Here may there be love.
Though in the world outside there is grief.
Though in the world outside there is grief.
Here may there be joy.
Here may there be joy.
Not by the chanting of the sacred scriptures.
Not by the chanting of the sacred scriptures.
Not by the sprinkling of holy water.
Not by the sprinkling of holy water.
But by our own efforts towards enlightenment.
But by our own efforts towards enlightenment.
We dedicate this space.
We dedicate this space.
Around this mandala, this sacred spot.
Around this mandala, this sacred spot.
May the lotus petals of purity open.
May the lotus petals of purity open.
Around this mandala, this sacred spot.
Round this mandala, this sacred spot.
May the Vajra wall of determination extend.
May the Vajra wall of determination extend.
Around this mandala, this sacred spot.
Around this mandala, this sacred spot.
May the flames that transmute samsara into nirvana arise.
May the flames that transmute samsara into nirvana arise.
Here seated.
Here seated.
Here practicing.
Here practicing.
May our mind become Buddha.
May our mind become Buddha.
May our thought become Dharma.
May our thought become Dharma.
May our communication with one another be Sangha.
May our communication with one another be Sangha.
For the happiness of all beings.
Happiness of all beings.
For the benefit of all beings.
For the benefit of all beings.
With body, speech, and mind.
With body, speech, and mind.
We dedicate this space.
We dedicate this space. So just settle into your chosen meditation posture. So as we've started this retreat by dedicating it to all beings, let's start by having a sense of the world around us, whatever that might mean for you. Sense of yourself sitting in and on the world and all that life around you, human life. All the amazing variety of animal life. The life in the sea. Life in the air and on the land. The life in the soil, life in the air. The smallest life you can imagine, single cell, life that's not quite alive, viruses that are not quite alive in the normal sense of the word. We're not quite dead either. Material world so just a sense of yourself on this world, in this world. What would it really mean to practice for all of this? Long way from our normal psychological concerns. And let's notice that we're breathing in and we're breathing out as we sit here. Let's be aware that this simple fundamental function of our body, this breathing in and this breathing out, connects us to all of this life around us. It makes us totally permeable with the world. As you breathe in from the world, don't you? Into the inner world of your own body. And when you breathe out, you release from the inner world of your own body into the outer world, into the body of the world. Up until really quite recently, people understood the world as a kind of extension, if you like, of the mother, of the divine mother. And once we were born, we entered into the womb of the world. And this world gave us everything we needed to exist, to be sustained, came from this world. I was intimate with this. We are as intimate with this world as we were intimate when we were inside the womb of our mother. We've been living for a year now with fear of breathing in, haven't we? Or breathing in something that would be harmful to us, might even kill us. Of course, without breathing in and breathing out, we'll be dead anyway. Come together now on this retreat as a community. And we're going to be practicing breathing together. So let's just acknowledge for ourselves individually, however it affects you, the kind of paradox or irony of the situation we find ourselves in. Let your face soften a little as you sit here. We're not here to worry or to figure things out. So as you breathe in and out, just feeling into yourself, into your body. And just acknowledging how you are, how this last year has affected you. Maybe in quite unexpected ways. our separate spaces, our separate homes. Let's come together in solidarity with one another. With the world. Let's imagine what it would be like to practice for all beings. What would that feel like? Or just sit quietly, breathing, aware of one another in the world for 10 minutes or so. I'm just noticing what's happening for you at the moment. Whatever is happening. Notice that there's also a breathing body, your breathing body. There's also a world, a breathing world, which your breathing body exists within and is part of. And at your heart, inside your breathing body, and your heart is inside this breathing world. This is what it feels like for you now, being in this body, in this world. As you breathe in and out, just have a sense of the other people that have joined you. this retreat, this home retreat, as it were. A sense of what it means for you.
Om Tare, Tu Tare, Tu Re Swaha. Om Tare, Tu Tare, Tu Re Swaha.
Om Tare, Tu Tare, Tu Re Swaha. Om Tare, Tu Tare, Tu Re Swaha.
Om Tare, Tu Tare, Tu Re Swaha. Om Tare, Tu Tare, Tu Re Swaha.
Om Tare, Tu Tare, Tu Re Swaha. Om Tare, Tu Tare, Tu Re Swaha.
Om Tare, Tu Tare, Tu Re Swaha. Om Tare, Tu Tare, Tu Re Swaha.
Om Tare, Tu Tare, Tu Re Swaha. Om Tare, Tu Tare, Tu Re Swaha.
Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha. Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha.
Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha. Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha.
Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha. Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha.
Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha. Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha.
Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha. Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha.
Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha. Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha.
Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha. Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha.
Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha. Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha.
Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha. Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha.
Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha. Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha.
Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha. Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha.
Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha. Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha.
Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha. Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha.
Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha. Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha.
Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha. Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha.
Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha. Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha.
Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha. Om Tare Tu Tare Ture Swaha.
Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Reswa. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Reswa.
Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Reswa. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Reswa.
Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Reswa. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Reswa.
Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Reswa. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Reswa.
Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Reswa. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Reswa.
Okay, so we're going to end there. Thank you all very much for coming and practicing, and we'll meet again 8 o'clock for morning meditation, and then Paramananda will be leading the session at 10:30 tomorrow. So have a good evening, and see you tomorrow.